For us, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Last Sunday night, I preached a message out of Genesis chapter 6 about preaching in vain. And it really was an introductory message into a series that we're going to start on Sunday morning about invitations in the Bible. So this morning, we're going to see this first invitation. And it's come into the ark. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 of Genesis chapter 7. So with our Bibles open, and we're ready to hear God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless us today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to read Your Word, to study it, Father, and have it applied to our lives. Father, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Lord, I just pray that every word that's said and done, Lord, bring glory to You, Lord. And that, Father, we leave this place changed. Lord, I just ask that just help us, Lord, to come to You. Help us, Lord, to come into the provision that You've made. Help us, Lord, to find Your grace today, Lord, which is all sufficient. Lord, I just ask that You just help us today, Lord, just to take away all distractions. And, Father, that we would pay attention to Your Word and once again obey it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood." In way of introduction, the Bible is full of invitations. We already know that Jesus says, "Come unto me, ye who are laid burden and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Come unto me and you'll find eternal life." See, God calls people to Himself. And then He calls people to go to others to bring others to Him. So God calls people to Himself. And in our passage here, we see Noah is asked to come into the ark. See, God's invitations in the Bible are calls of love. Last Sunday night, we talked about three principles that God looks. We talked about this morning in the children's corner that God sees what other people do not see. God looks down to see if there's any that understands. God looks down to see if people are following Him. God looks down to see if we're doing what is right or what is wrong. But God does look. We know that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, it says that God is love. And we also know in that chapter it says that herein is love. Not that we first loved God, but that He... Not that we love God, but that He first loved us, and that He gave Himself as a propitiation for our sins. God is love, and people kind of take that for granted. But God commended His love towards us, and while that we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
One day, a young man came to Christ. Came to Jesus in His earthly ministry. He said, "What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" See, we need to have eternity in view. The most important question is where you are going to spend eternity, folks. That is the most important question. Everything hinges off of that decision. So, Christ enters a conversation with him. And basically says, "Hey, you've done these things." He says, "I've done all these things with you." And in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus, beholding him," what? Loved him. See, we need to understand that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Herein is love. We all get wrapped up about love, but we need to understand that God is also a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. But it says here, it says, that Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou what? Lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, there's the end, take up the cross and follow me. Every time we meet Christ, there is an invitation. There's an invitation to follow him or an opportunity to reject him. The Bible is full of invitation, and this is the first invitation in the Bible. As we go through these scriptures this morning, I want to show about three invitations that God gives to Noah. The first one is that it's an invitation to survive the flood. It's an invitation to basically escape judgment. See, we know the wickedness of Noah's time. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. See, Noah lived in a flood of wickedness. Before God brought the flood, there was a flood of wickedness. Folks, today we live in a flood of wickedness. Christ himself, when he was talking about his return, talked about as in the days of Noah, so will be the days of the Son of Man. Folks, we live in a wicked time. People are wicked in their thoughts, just like they were in Noah's day. People are corrupt in their moral decisions, just like they are in Noah's day. Today, people are violently dealing with people, just like they did in Noah's day. For 120 years, Noah has preached. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man's spirit. And for every time that he's building the ark, he's preaching. We saw that in 2 Peter, where it said, as the ark was preparing, he preached righteousness. But you know something? They were so wicked that preaching fell on deaf ears. Today, aren't we living in the same society? We are living in that same society. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Actually talked about this in class the other day. It said about the wickedness of man. And I said, well, here's the issue. Man can never be good. It says here in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above what? All things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Folks, we can't even know our own heart. You know, we hear of heinous crimes, and people go and they talk to neighbors, he was a good kid. Or they talk to their parents, he never did anything like that before. He's a good kid. Wait a second. Who can know your heart? Who can know your heart? Sometimes we've done things in our own lives and we say, what? You ever imagine doing that? So there's this wickedness in Noah's time, and Noah gets an invitation to survive the flood. You know, there's judgment that follows wickedness. Last Sunday night we said that before judgment comes, God always gives an opportunity to repent. God always gives an opportunity to escape the judgment. In verse 7 it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and fouls the air for it, repenting me that I made them. And God in the future is going to destroy everyone who takes the mark of the beast. God's going to destroy everybody in the tribulation period that doesn't follow him. And people are going to wish they were dead. But he said, before that time comes, the gospel must be preached in all the nations. See, God gives a way out. See, Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 says this, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Yes, God is love. But just like the kid that goes in a place where he's not supposed to go and gets away with it, We often think that that's what happens in our spiritual life too. We think that if we don't suffer a negative consequence to a bad action, that was okay. God doesn't condone sin. He hates sin. Okay? He loves us. He says, anyone comes to me, I will no wise cast out. But he hates sin. It says here in number 14, verse 18, they have rebelled against God 10 times. And now they're in the wilderness. They rejected the promised land. It says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And by what? No means clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Think about the wickedness of Noah's time. People were long-lived back then. And the wickedness that the parents did, the kids did, and the grandkids did, because it was passed on from generation to generation. Folks, our sin has a negative consequence. God will forgive us, but that consequence lingers on. Judgment is coming. So Noah was given the invitation to survive the flood because of the wickedness in Noah's time, because the judgment that follows wickedness. And then thirdly, the invitation to survive the flood was by grace. God's grace. You know, it says here in verse 8 of chapter 6, it says that Noah what? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because he was looking to him. He was looking to him. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but he giveth more grace. See, grace was offered to Noah. Noah was facing the same judgment too. If Noah didn't go into the ark, he would have suffered the same fate that everybody else. If his wife hadn't gone in the ark, she would have suffered the same fate. If his family hadn't gone in the ark, they would have suffered the same fate. See, grace was offered to a man and his family facing judgment. Grace is still offered to sinful people today. And that's the good news. That's the good news. We sing the song, grace that is what? Greater than all our sin. For when sin abounds, grace therefore did much more. Oh, folks, God is extending his grace to you today. He's giving you an invitation to survive the judgment. The only way that you can survive the judgment of God is to have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. We can't earn it. We're not good enough to merit it. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know why no one listened to Noah's day? You know why Noah was preaching in vain? Because people were too proud to accept the fact that they were sinners. They were too proud to accept that what they were doing was wrong. They were too foolish to think that God would actually do what he said he's going to do. They didn't think that. God does what he says. Amen. And so when God gives his invitation to come into the ark, it was an invitation to survive the flood. Secondly, it's an invitation to take a step of faith. Now, Noah is invited to come into the ark. Now, it would be foolish for Noah to have spent 120 years to build this ship, and then after it's done and he sees the protection it's going to provide, it says, that's good enough for me. Just knowing that that ship's there is good enough for me. I'm not going to get in it. See, it took a step of faith for Noah to get into the ark. We said, well, that's foolishness. Obviously, he would get in the ark. Folks, people today understand the salvation and they see it right in front of them. And they won't take the simple step of faith. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're supposed to take the next step, and God lights the way for the next step. And we say, well, it's foolish. But people live, they know what salvation is, but they won't take the step of faith to accept it. People who are saved won't take the next step past salvation to start doing things for God. The Bible says that we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're supposed that the just shall live by faith. As it says in Romans chapter 3. We have the faith to get saved. But we don't have the faith to follow. God gave Noah an invitation to take a step of faith and come into the ark. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 it says, by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he got it. And he got in it, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You don't think your faith has consequences? If Noah didn't have the faith to get in the ark, we would not be here today. Our faith has lasting consequences. You need to take a step of faith. They take a step of faith. Noah is invited to come into the ark. Oh, we're invited to do so much. Noah's salvation was by grace through faith. We already know in verse 8 of chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the sight of God. See, our salvation is by grace through faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, the Bible says this. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve God's love. Because we're desperately wicked. We're living in a flood of wickedness today.
Right.
And folks, we need to accept God's invitation. And come to Him. And come into the ark. Noah was saved from the wrath of God in the flood by grace. We are saved from the wrath of God by faith in Christ alone. In John chapter 3 verse 36. We know John 3 verse 16. But at the end of the chapter, the Bible says this. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath or has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. That when the Bible talks about life, it's talking about eternity. Talking about eternal life. Talking about heaven. But the wrath of God abides on him. You think you're getting away with something today without God? You're not. God knows everything that you do. He knows your heart. He knows your need. He gives grace. He gives grace. He gives an invitation to come into the ark. He gives an invitation to take a step of faith and to prove Him right. And to prove the truth. Oh, God's given you an invitation today. You need to follow it. Noah was given an invitation to take a step of faith. Thirdly, God's invitation to come into the ark was an invitation to Noah's whole family. It says here in verse 1, it says, and God said, in all thy house. That Sunday night, we said that it's the parent's responsibility, a dad's responsibility, to prepare for his household. And it says in the New Testament, if he doesn't do that, he's worse than an infidel. And an infidel is one who has no faith. Folks, it is our responsibility as parents to pass our faith, first of all, to have faith in Christ, and to pass that faith to our children. And if we don't, we're not doing the will of God. If you don't receive God as Savior, you're not doing the will of God. So, Noah didn't come up to his kids and say, your mom and I we're going to take a boat ride. We'll be back in couple of months. He didn't say that at all. He said, come and guard with me. He knew that this was the only way of salvation. And he told his family that. See, God wants entire households to be saved. Right? God wants entire families to be saved. And if you get nothing out of this today, if you have a child or a grandchild that doesn't know Christ, this would be a good time to go tell them about it. Paul and Silas are in the Philippian jail. They're in prison because of preaching the gospel, doing the right thing. The jailer locks them up in special case. But then there's the earthquake and all the chains fall off, and the Philippian jailer comes in and thinks that everybody's escaped because that's man's heart, right? Do my thing, not do the right thing. And to his amazement, he finds all the prisoners still in their cells. And he cries out. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so Paul and Silas talk to him. And you know what? The Philippian jailer brought them home. Brought them home. And in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 31, it says, and brought them out, saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But see, they didn't stay in the jail. They took Paul, he took Paul and Silas to his house. They heard. Remember when the centurion in Acts chapter 10 sends for Peter. When Peter shows up, he thinks he's going to be talking to one dude. He's talking to the whole house full of people. He says, I invited all these people here to hear your words. Yeah. Folks, yeah. When we have good news, we ought to tell other people, I have good news. You ought to hear this and share that with other people. Psalm chapter 119, verse 90 says this. It says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. The parents, if you know Christ and you've got kids that don't know Christ, you need to tell them about Christ. Kids, if you know Christ, if your parents don't know Christ, you need to tell them about Christ. Wife, if you have a spouse, or a husband that doesn't know Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that you live a godly life in front of them, but their good conversation will win them. Husbands, the same thing goes for us. We look at missions and we look at the lost and dying world, but let our family go to hell. That's not the way it is. God established the family first. Folks, it's an invitation for Noah's whole family to come into the ark. And they were all in there and they were all saved. Folks, the invitation for all of us. Not just for you, not just for me, it's for all of our kids and our grandkids. If we are killed. But the issue is, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. So this was an invitation to come into the ark. But inside that invitation, there was an invitation for Noah to take the next step of faith and follow what God said to do. It says in verse 5, it says, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. It is the will of God that everybody gets saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to follow that command. It's the will of God and the commandment of God that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we don't do that, we are being disobedient to His command. We're not taking that next step of faith. It's the will of God that we take off the old man and put on the new man and walk by faith and not by sight. And if we're not doing that, we're not taking that next step of faith, then we're being disobedient to God's command. This morning, there was an invitation to Noah to come in the ark. It was an invitation to take a step of faith. It was an invitation to Noah's whole family. This morning, our most important task, we need to understand, our more important task is to lead our families to Christ. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, he says, by their fruits you shall know them. If we don't witness to other people, how can we convince even ourselves that we know God?
Right.
The truth of the righteous is a tree of life. We need to share eternal life with other people. We don't give it, God does. But we need to share the good news. Amen. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear? Except as a preacher. Okay? And he that winneth souls is wise. That's our most important task. Mom, Dad, Granddad, Grandpa, or Grandma. That's the most important task. How will we respond today to this invitation? Will we leave here saying, okay, I need to do something, but don't do it? That's not taking the next step of faith. I need to get saved, but I'm not saved yet, and I'll wait until the more convenient day. You may not know.
Right.
It gave him 7 days. He says, yet 7 days, and this is going to start happening. We don't know if you have 7 minutes. Don't leave here today without being right with God. Don't leave here today until you accept his invitation of grace. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Just ask you for this kind of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, come into your ark of peace and safety. Help us, Lord, come into your ark of salvation. Father, I pray that someone does not know you, Lord, as Savior, understand that you love the world so much that you gave your Son. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for mankind's sin. Your, mine, and everyone else's in here. And all we need to do is ask you to forgive us of our sins. Believe that your death on the cross was for that. That you were buried, you rose again the third day. And that we ask for eternal life by believing in you and following you. Lord, I pray as someone who receive you as Savior today. Lord, for us, let's help us, Lord, to take the next step of faith in our life. Help us, Lord, to not just look at what we've done in the past, Lord, but use that for your glory and for your kingdom. Help us today. We're a needy people. Help us to know our heart. Help us to be right with God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.